What a great day it is to be in the house of the Lord, and I just love these young men switching back and forth here today on the drums. You know, it's pretty amazing that Brother DJ is out today, but we have these two wonderful young men that can just fill in. Amen? Yes. And boy, those deep voices on those young men singing. And you know what, Brother Cliff, I'm hoping that maybe you get maybe the three basses that we have, those three basses and yourself, and maybe do a quartet one Sunday morning, a special song, you know, Brother Jim and Brother Cecil and Andrew and yourself. You not being a bass, of course, you being a tenor, a very fine tenor, amen. But we know that we come today to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, you know, as we continue our study today, living a life of significance, today we remain in the book of Joshua. And as we all know, the book of Joshua is a story about the life, symbolism of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. The name Joshua is actually the Old Testament version of the New Testament Jesus. The name of Jesus was pronounced Yeshua in the New Testament. And Joshua is the Old Testament version of that. As we continue our series, by the way, are you enjoying the series that we're in the book of Joshua? Amen. We come to today's message called Combat. And all over the sanctuary, if you have the Word of God, whether in printed or digital format, would you please hold the Word of God up over your heads? Amen. Hallelujah. And if you come here today and you don't own a Bible, just let one of our greeters know on your way out, and we'll make sure you leave here with the Bible today. So please turn in the Word of God to the book of Joshua, chapter 10. We'll be in verses 12 through 14 today. But before we get to that, I would like to say grace and peace to you from God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that we gather for one purpose, amen? And that's to worship a risen Savior. You know, we have our Bibles. We know that it is the perfect, it is the inerrant, is the absolutely accurate Word of the living God. And but we all go through battles in our life, amen? We all go through our battles in our life. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15, you can mark this down in your Bibles. You can go back to it later. Actually, verses 14 and 15, 2 Chronicles 20, 14 and 15, says, "Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehazaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph." Asaph, by the way, were the sons of Asaph were some of the ones that wrote some of the Psalms in the book of Psalms, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, "Listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid or dismayed because of this great multitude, but the battle is not yours. The battle is God's. The battle is the Lord's." And we also, if you're in Joshua chapter 10, please say amen. Amen. Well, hold your place there. Flip over to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. We'll take a look at that quickly. Well, we grab that as our battle cry for this year. If you're there, please say amen. Amen. It says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good cheer and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And what I want to declare to you today, that if you are a child of God, then wherever you go, the Lord is with you. You know, He is the immanent God. He is the eternal God. He is the inerrant God. He is the invincible God. He is the immense God. God is amazing. Amen. And wherever we go, there is no place that we can go to get away from God. And so as we continue our study in the book of Joshua, we're going to come to this passage today, Joshua chapter 10, verses 12 through 14. If you are there, please say amen. And we're going to read from that. But we're going to read a passage today that for many years was met with ridicule, absolute ridicule from the scientific community. But we're going to give you guys some science to back up the Word of God today. Amen? Reading from the Word of God, Joshua chapter 10, verses 12 through 14. "Then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said, in the sight of Israel, He said in the sight of Israel, he said this before all the people, "Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Aijalon." Continue on. Then the Joshua, "So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, till the people had revenge upon their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. And there has been no day like that, before it or after it, that the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel." May the Lord add His blessing upon His word. Now, I don't know about you, but I feel much more comfortable with the Lord fighting my battles. Amen? I know that I grow weak and I grow weary at certain times. But as long as I know that it's the Lord that is fighting my battles, then I know truly there is victory at the end of the day. But there are some people that point to this and say, do you not see, can you not tell that there are errors in the Bible? There's no way the sun stood still in the heavens. There's no way that that could possibly happen. The Bible, therefore, has errors. It's impossible for the sun to stand still, is what the scoffers say. But the reality is, as we'll learn today, that science authenticates the infallibility and the factuality of God's Word. You see, if there's any little part of the Bible that we find that is to be inaccurate or untrue, everything falls apart, amen? Because then what part could you trust? What part could you trust to the Lord? But we're going to show today that, scoffers aside, science declares the truth of this. What does Psalm chapter 19, how does that start? How does Psalm 46 start? "Behold, the heavens declare the glory of God." That means far more than you ever imagined. We've preached on it many times. But the heavens and everything that is in the heavens points to the glory of God, and it points to the truth of the Word of God, as we will learn today. We have 3 points today. I spread them out today. I didn't want you guys, you guys get discouraged sometimes if I preach for 20 minutes before I get to the first point. But I spread them out today, so you should be able to follow along. But we're going to see that there are actually 3 battles that are engaged when we talk about this passage. The first battle, as we see on the screen today, is the historical battle. The historical battle. What do I mean by historical? Well, this was a battle fought by flesh and blood. There is a God in heaven, but the Lord expects you to fight, friends. The Lord expects you to fight the battles here on earth, calling upon His name, amen? Amen. Calling always upon His name. You see, this was a battle fought by flesh and blood. God had given Israel the victory at Jericho. Afterward, God gave Israel the victory at the city of Ai. So the news got around the land of Canaan, and 5 kings decide they're going to form themselves a league of nations. Let's call them the devil's team. The devil's team. Have you ever noticed that the devil wants to attack with a group? Amen? He comes at you with a group of things. He comes at you with a bunch of things. But that you can trust the Lord, if you understand that there is nothing that you go through in this life that is not passed before the eyes of your Heavenly Father, then you can say, hey, this battle belongs to the Lord. Do you feel under siege right now? Do you feel under siege in your life? In other words, does the money run out before the month runs out? Before you get to the next paycheck. Ever been there? Everybody says amen. Amen. We've all been there. Amen. So we have those battles in our life. But listen, let's look at this devil's team here. Look back up in chapter 10, verse 3. If you're there, please say amen. Amen. It says, therefore, every time I read here out of the Old Testament, it seems like I choose the places that I'm reading from the Hebrew phone book. Therefore, the 5 kings of the Amorites, remember what the Amorites were like, they were evil, terrible group of people. Oh, I'm in the wrong verse there. Therefore, Adonai, Zadok. Adonai means my Lord is righteous. We'll see. We will see whose Lord is righteous. Therefore, Adonai, Zadok, king of Jerusalem, sent to Hoham, king of Hebron. Hoham means whom God drives out. Hebron means association. My friends, the unrighteous will be driven out from association with the living God. There is a day coming someday when the trump shall sound and the Lord Jesus will descend with a shout and we will go to be with Him in heaven. Amen? But the unrighteous are not part of that plan. Then we come to, who's the next guy? Piram, king of Jarmuth. Alright, this is going to be a biblical word. It's right in Scripture. I'm going to give you the Hebrew for this. Piram means wild ass. As in the donkey, as in a little donkey. Thought I'd clarify that. If you're watching on the internet, don't. Jarmuth means heights. Wild ass heights. Apparently this guy was a high flying, huge horse's backside. And all God's people said, moving along. Next, see Miss Ruth Ann loves that. That's what happens when she gets the giggles. Then we see Japhia, king of Lachish. Japhia means shining. Lachish means invincible. Really? Well, let's see who shines the brightest. Let's see whose Lord is invincible. Let's see who the Lord makes invincible because they follow Him. And finally, we see, what are the last ones? And Debir, king of Eglon. Debir means sanctuary. Eglon means calf-like. Sanctuary and calf-like. My friends, there is no hiding from a holy God. There is no hiding. There is no sanctuary from a holy God. Write this down. I'm going to read it to you quickly. But over in Amos chapter 9, Amos, or you can turn there if you want to. Amos chapter 9, verses 1 through 4. You know, it has Daniel, Hosea, Joel, and then Amos. Amos chapter 9. Listen to what the Lord says to those that are trying to flee His justice. I saw the Lord standing by the altar, and He said, strike the doorposts, that the thresholds may shake, and break them on the heads of them all. I will slay the last of them with the sword. He who flees from them shall not get away, and he who escapes from them shall not be delivered. Though they dig into hell, from there my hand shall take them. Though they climb to the heaven, from there I will bring them down. And though they hide themselves on top of Mount Carmel, from there I will search and take them. Though they hide from me, though they hide from my sight at the bottom of the sea, from there I will command the serpent, and it shall bite them. Though they go into captivity before the enemies, from there I will command the sword, and I will slay them. And I will set my eyes on them for harm and not for good. I don't know about you, I don't want the Lord's eyes upon me for harm and not for good. You see, He is a holy God. There is no escaping His righteousness. Amen? There is no escaping His holiness. And there is no escaping His justice. No hiding place. So the Amorites launched their campaign. Verse 6. Well, let me get back over here to verse 6. Verse 6. And it says, and the men of Gibeon sent to Joshua at the camp of Gilgal, saying, do not forsake your servants. Come up to us quickly. Save us and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites who dwell in the mountains have gathered together against us. Okay, so what we see is there's an appeal from the Gibeonites. They're under siege by this unholy alliance, the devil's team. Verses 7 through 10, the Israelites go into action. I'm going to read that quickly. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear them, for I have delivered them into your hand. This unholy alliance thinks they've got the upper hand. And the Lord says, see, they're right there. You don't even have to chase them down. Not a man of them shall stand before you. Joshua therefore came upon them suddenly, having marched all night from Gilgal. That gives a symbolism of being unrelenting in the service to the Lord. So the Lord routed them before Israel. Who routed them? The Lord. Killed them with a great slaughter at Gibeon. Trace them along the road that goes to Beth Horon. Instruct them down as far as Ezekiah and Machadah. That is just an imagining. The Israelites go into action depending upon the Lord. And in verse 11, we see a miracle. And it happened as they fled before Israel and were on the descent of Beth Horon that the Lord cast down large hailstones from heaven on them as far as Ezekiah, and they died. Listen to this. Listen to your Lord in action. There were more who died from the hailstones than the children of Israel killed with the sword. Friends, God says, you can run from my people, but you cannot hide from me. They declare that my name is righteous. They declare that my name is holy. And I tell you, I am a holy God. I am a righteous God. And I will not be mocked. And the modern world tries to mock our Heavenly Father. Amen? They try to mock the Lord Jesus Christ. But God says, I will not be mocked. And this historic battle puts them in retreat. They're saying, okay, we don't want to fight anymore. Now listen, Joshua knows that this is a turning point. He also knows that he needs more time. Is that a change in attitude we see in God's people? That's the attitude we should see. Lord, it's not just that I've won the battle. I need more time, Lord, for you to show who you are. I need more time to serve you, Father, so that the world sees this. Because this is the beginning of the end for the Canaanites, friends. And what's more, everything from this point on, when it comes to God's people, God's plans, God's promises, God's prophecies, are all hinging upon this particular battle. Both sides are pulling out all the stops. One side thinks they have the upper hand because there's five kings against the one nation. The other side says the battle is not ours, but the battle is the Lord's. And Joshua, who's probably thinking, I wish I had more time to properly finish this off, prays the second half of verse 12. Look at in your Bibles at the second half of verse 12. Sun, stand still over Gibeon. And moon in the valley of Aijalon. I probably pronounced that three different ways each time I read it. It's okay. Listen, friends. And God answers. And time stood still. Sun stopped moving through the sky. The moon stopped setting in the valley. The day was extended into battle won. This is a historical battle, and we're going to talk about how we can prove it scientifically and historically in just a moment, because this was also a philosophical battle. Not only was it a historical battle, write down in your notes, please, this was a philosophical battle. Now, philosophical battles are fought by scholars. You ever sit around a bunch of scholars? They can be pretty boring guys, and they argue every single little point. Third oldest grandson. Oh, and by the way, before you get out of here today, Miss Ruth Ann is going to block the entrance and show everybody a picture of our great-granddaughter. I thought I was going through a bit with a disobedient, rebellious wife when I came home from golfing yesterday. I came home, she had blue toenails. And then I saw her dress this morning. And I thought, okay, you had a plan going here. You had a field of endeavor here. All right, but listen, friends. My third oldest grandson is a political science and philosophy double major. If you get in a room with him these days, you don't get a word in edgewise. He loves this kind of discussion. But this philosophical battle is fought by people that don't believe this story. They said for years it was scientifically impossible. See, here is their problem. It is scientifically provable. Isn't that good to know? That you can take something out of the Scripture and know that it is scientifically provable. That the sun stood still? Seriously? Here's how. It's because of the position of the sun in the sky. It's the position of the moon in the valley. And it's the location of the battle. Where's that battle? Where does it say that happened at? Right over to the city of Gibeon. Amen? In verse 13, look at this now. If you look down at verse 13. It says that it happened in the midst of the heaven. That word midst is the Hebrew word shasti, which actually reads like this. If you were to read it properly in the original Hebrew, the sun was in the zenith of the heavens. It was exactly directly overhead. And that directly overhead was directly overhead the city of Gibeon. If you're with me, say amen.
Amen.
I'm not trying to go all science on you guys here. I'm definitely not the guy for that. Now that gives us the exact latitude and longitude on the face of the globe. And second, look at the moon's position. Where was the moon's position? Look in verse 12. The moon in the valley of the Ajon. So this setting of the moon, this setting of the moon means it's about to touch the meridian of the earth in the valley. You guys with me? Ajalon, by the way, Gibeon means the hill city. Ajalon means the field of deer. Isn't that interesting? A field of deer on a hill. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for the Lord. Amen? But the Lord's going to do this on the hill. So setting, it means it's about to touch the meridian of the earth. Now scientists can take that information, and scientists have taken that information, and tell us exactly what day that was on. Are you ready for this? Say amen.
Amen.
The ancient Chaldeans, meaning the Babylonians, kept extremely accurate heavenly astronomical records. They kept very accurate calendars. And using their information, you get July the 22nd, which is on a Tuesday. I'm not going to give you the year. It's not important right now. July the 22nd on a Tuesday. But if you take modern records and work your way backwards, you come to the same year, but it's July the 22nd, a Wednesday. The Chaldeans going forward, July 22nd, a Tuesday. Modern records coming backward, July 22nd, a Wednesday. Scientists agree both records are accurate. They are both correct. How is that possible? There's a missing day. Wait, what? How long did it say? For about a day, amen? The sun stood still. In other words, it's a long day. It's a long day, which unbelievers argue is scientifically impossible. They say it's against natural law. I'm going to say that again. It's against natural law. The sun isn't moving. Everything is moving. You see, natural law, you want to know what Pastor Larry has to say about natural law? That's what I have to say about natural law. Listen, why do I say that? There is no such thing as the laws of nature. Because they are the laws of God.
Amen.
They are the laws of God. I'm glad I got a testimony there. I was about to use my own. You see, God doesn't operate outside the laws of nature. Nature operates according to the laws of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Give Him praise in His house. Have you got that question? How does a law happen? You say, well, there's God's laws of nature. Well, how does a law happen? How does a law take place? Well, there must be someone with enough power and authority to make that law. Amen? And there must be someone with enough power and authority to enforce that law. You see, I recognize the laws of God, but not only can I not make the sun stand still in the sky, I can't say with the faith of a mustard seed, mountain move from here to there. But God can, amen?
Amen?
There must be someone with enough power and authority to enforce the law. So here's what I tell folks. Are you telling me, Christians, are you telling me, world, that the God who has enough power to create the universe and the laws of nature can't suspend, that He can't amend, that He cannot rescind His own law? Are you telling me He can't do that? The God that holds the universe in the cup of His hand. Are you telling me He can't say, stop. What did Jesus say in the storm on the water? They woke Him up. Lord, peace, be still. I like to think of it this way. Jesus woke up, got up, walked around the boat, looked at the disciples. I've been preaching all day. Seriously, guys, have you forgot who I am? Peace, be still. I'm going back to bed. Amen? You ever feel that way? So people, I'd say, are you telling me that the Creator has become a servant of the creation? No. God is God, and He does as He wills. He is the Lord, and there is none other. Now listen, it's not just the Bible that has this missing a long day, amen? The Chinese, the Incas, the Aztecs all have this missing day in their calendar. They all have this quote-unquote long day. So how do we scientifically prove that? Well, the great world-renowned British astronomer, Sir Edwin Bell. I know you're just thrilled to hear that. Sir Edmund Bell. You've been waiting all week for me to talk about Sir Edmund Bell. See, I see Latima's face. She has not been waiting all week for that. Found in his calculations that 24 hours are missing out of solar time. The heavens declare the glory of God. Then the instruments got more and more advanced, and they found out, wait a minute, it is not a whole day that is missing. It is actually 23 hours. It's not a whole day that was missing based upon the book of Joshua. It was 23 hours and 20 minutes. Aha, they said. The Bible's not 100% correct. The Bible has errors. It's not a whole day. It's 23 hours and 20 minutes. So is the Bible long? No. Look at verse 13. Look in there, guys. Look at the last part of the sentence. And it said, and it did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. So where did the missing 40 minutes go? If you look on the screen, you'll see Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, chapter 38, verse 8. Are you ready for this? Behold, I will bring the shadow on the sundial, which has gone down with the sun on the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees on the sundial by which it had gone down. How long is 10 degrees on the sundial in a regular day? 40 minutes. Give God praise in His house, guys. Give the Lord praise in His house. Guys, listen to me. Whether God slowed down the earth, or the solar system, or the Milky Way, or the super galaxy, or the entire universe and creation, it doesn't matter. Who cares? God did it. God did it. God said it. God did it, and that's the end of it. Amen? So many times people say, well, why do you believe what you believe? Well, God said it, I believe it, and that's the end of it. Well, that's close. Let me refine that a little bit for you. God said it, that's the end of it. Whether I believe it or not, amen? You see, first we saw God won the historical battle. Hallelujah, praise, glory, God won the philosophical and scientifical battle. Scientifical, sorry. I saw my wife's eyebrows furrow over there. The philosophical and scientific battle. Now let's look at today's final point. We're going to see God win the heavenly battle as well. The heavenly battle. You see, that's a battle that's being fought by Christians today. If you would, look on the screen at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. Oh, I'm sorry. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. We're not fighting, friends, a flesh and blood battle. We fight the enemies of darkness. It is a demon world out there. But before you go all flaky on me here, you can't be possessed. Christians cannot be possessed by demons. Why? Because you are indwelt by the Lord Jesus Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. There's no room in there. Amen. And what does the Bible say? Every time Jesus came on the scene or the Holy Spirit, what did the demons do? They had to flee. When you are indwelt by the Lord Jesus Christ, as you go forward, that shining light in your heart, that shining light as you declare the truth of God's Word goes forth, and every demon in Broward County flees at the great name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I love that. I love that. Don't worry about all that stuff. But see, this very moment there's a battle raging, and I want you to jot down in your margins there. We got four truths that are over and above what we had written down there. But first, we see the truth of the Word of God. How do we know that we can win this heavenly battle? It's because of the truth of the Word of God. You know, we've shown that the Bible can be trusted. When it says that the sun stood still, science says the sun stood still. Amen? Joshua 10, verses 10 through 12 says the sun stood still. What does Psalms 119:89 say? If we look up on our screen, Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad you can trust the Word of God? Aren't you glad that you can get up day by day and read the Word of God? It's not going to change. Amen? The Word of God, infallible, inerrant, reliable, applicable, and trustworthy for your lives. Now listen to me for just a moment. We are called to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen? We are called to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The good news from the Word of God. It's the good news from the Word of God. Amen? But listen to me. We're the newsboys. We're not the editors. When you share the good news of the Word of God, speak the truth of God's Word. From the first day that I've been senior pastor of this church, I have called upon you to have your Bibles open in your lap when I'm preaching. You know, next week is my 4-year anniversary as being the senior pastor here. 4 years it's going to be. Amen. Hallelujah. It has flown by. It's been such a blessing. And we have a special service coming next week. I want you to make sure next week you get here on time, everybody. I know we usually drift in. We got a special service next week. We're going to ordain two ministers. We're going to ordain as pastors. We're going to ordain Brother Rennell as a deacon. Hallelujah. We're going to baptize some people. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to have our all of our certificates for our new members. I finally got the paperwork in there, Miss Peggy. You're going to get. Aren't you glad you're not at the doctor next week? Amen. So we want. And on top of all of that, we're going to have a joint service with ourselves and Hispanic ministry with both praise teams, like we did the last time. On top of all of that, Dr. Minshew from the Gulfstream Baptist Association will be preaching. He's the director of missions for 180 churches. He's coming here. It's going to be a glorious day to be in the house of God. Amen? Amen? Friends, listen to me. I want to ask you, have you dived into the Word of God? Have you learned how to mine your own pearls? Pardon me, mine your own gold. Have you learned how to dive for your own pearls? Read the Word of God. You'll find those nuggets, as I spoke about two Sundays ago. You know, when it says, as I was doing my daily reading and devotional, it said that as the Lord Jesus Christ left that upper room where He had been with the disciples, heading to the Garden of Gethsemane where He would be taken to be crucified, it said that as they left, they sang hymns. My Savior went to the cross with a song in His heart and on His lips. Your Savior went to the cross singing for the joy set before Him. If that doesn't move your heart, if that doesn't bless your heart, then your heart is hard as a stone. I just preached right off my notes. So friends, there's no way you can live a significant life without the Word of God. Not only the truth of God's Word, second, the truth of God's care for us. Did you know God cares about you? He cares about you. He cares about your day. He cares about how things are going in your day. Look at Joshua 10:14, our passage today, if you dare say amen. And there has been no day like it before or after it that the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for who? For Israel. Isn't it good to know that the Lord cares for Israel and He cares for you today? Listen, friends, sometimes people say, I see that the Lord fought for Israel. Sometimes I wish He'd fight for me. I wish He'd get on my side. Friends, the secret is not to get God on your side. It's a secret for you to get on God's side. I'm going to say that again. The secret is not to get God on your side, because He's not going to do that. The secret is to get on God's side. Then the battle is the Lord's. What did the commander of the army of the Lord say in Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 and 14? Turn back over to Joshua chapter 5. We're already here. I wasn't going to do this. But Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. If you're there, please say amen. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man, what do you notice about the word man there? Capitalized, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? Isn't that just like us? Lord, whose side are you on anyway? So he said, no, But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face on the earth and worshipped and said to him, What does my Lord say to his servant? You see, he said to Joshua, I haven't come to take sides, I've come to take over. Has the Lord Jesus Christ taken over in your life? Is He the commander of the army of your heart? You see, it's God, not you. And He's not for them. God is for God. Scripture says, what? I am the Lord thy God, and I will share my glory with who? No one. But He will take care of His children, just as He fought for Israel. And He'll fight for you today. You still have to do battle, though. Amen? Brother Jim, Miss Raphael, have you guys gone through some battles recently? Call upon the name of the Lord. Continue calling upon the name of the Lord. Call upon God's people to call upon the name of the Lord. We will do battle for you. We pray for Brother Jim and Miss Raphael. They're going through some big battles. They have been for several years. We pray for that. You know, our prayer team and our Wednesday night group prayed for some people that are going through health issues. And they're sitting in church today. And they were sitting in... We prayed that they would come to Wednesday night service. And they're in Wednesday night services now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Prayer works. Amen. All right, so there's the truth of God's Word. There's the truth of the care of God for you. Now, third, there's the truth of the power of God. There's the truth of the power of God. Five defeated kings try to get away. But look at verses 24 and 25 back in today's text. If you're over there, please say amen. So it was when they brought out those kings to Joshua that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said to the captains of the men of war who went with him, listen closely. Don't miss this theological moment. Come near, put your feet on the necks of these kings. And they drew near and put their feet on their necks. By the way, guys, this was about 1.5 million fighting men. Then Joshua said to them, do not be afraid nor dismayed. Be strong and of good courage. For thus the Lord will do to all of your enemies against whom you fight. He will allow you to put your feet on their neck if the Lord is your God. What is the significance of that for you today? If you look on the screen today, we have a few more passages. Romans chapter 16, verse 20 says, and the God of peace will crush Satan under his feet. Look at that. Take heart in that, Christians. The Lord God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you today. Listen, guys, Satan hopes you don't get that. Satan would be happy if you were never made aware of that. But if you are in Christ, then Christ is in you. And there's power in the name of Jesus. Amen. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Why? Because there's an army rising up. And that army's name is Living Hope Baptist Church. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That doesn't mean we won't have problems. That doesn't mean we won't have issues. But one day soon, Satan's neck will be under your feet. Amen. The one that's been badgering us for all this time. So you can trust the truth of the Word of God, the truth of the care of the God, the truth of the power of God. And finally, you can trust the truth of the work of God. You see, friends, it says in verse 14 that there was no other day. And there will be no other day like that. Why? Friends, God made the sun to stand still for only one time. Once. The sun that is in your eyes today, once you go outside, will set one day. What did Jesus say in John chapter 9, verse 4? It says, I must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. In other words, there's a time coming when the gospel will have no more validity. Amen? God has given you a day now. A glorious day. But one day soon, if Jesus Christ doesn't return first, your day will end. The day will end. Your sun will set. You will close your eyes on earth for the final time. For we Christians, you see, on that day when some people will never have another chance to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, for we Christians, we'll open our eyes and see the face of our Savior. We'll see the face of our Savior. But while we're here, And while we have time, we are to do the work of the ministry. Today is our work day. Today is doesn't mean we don't need a little bit of rest once in a while. Amen? What does it mean that today is our work day? It means don't go to heaven empty-handed. Don't go to heaven empty-handed. Witness for Jesus Christ every single day. Listen, friends. Do you really want to meet your Savior having never led someone to Jesus Christ? Do you really want to meet the Father having never shared the gospel of Jesus Christ? Now, I made an announcement when we began the service that we're going to be keeping the elementary in here for a while. But listen, friends. There are a bunch of saved young people in this church. Why? Because Miss Latima and Miss Heather have been obedient to the call of God in their lives. I wish I could share what they mean in my heart to this church. They've been back there, and it hasn't all been pretty. You ever watch them go back there some days? They're all nice. And when they're nice-looking ladies, they go back there, they're all nice, and their hair's fine. And they come back, the shirt's torn. Hair's all sideways some days. Here, take your little angel home with you. Sometimes just to get back, we have candy day back there. So they load them up with sugar and send them home with you. And all God's people said, amen. Hallelujah. So listen, friends, witness for Christ every single day as we're drawn to a close here. I want to tell you that your son is sitting on this life. Make use of every opportunity that you have. And as I look around the sanctuary today, as I'm looking into the camera for this service on the internet, one day, the things that you think are so important right now are not going to be important at all. Your lawn, your cars, your houses, your school grades will just represent lost opportunities to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, church. Without going all tithes and offering on you, if there's some money or some offering or some gift that you're intending to give, why don't you give it today? If there's some praying that you intend to do, why don't you pray that prayer today? If there's some witnessing that you intend to do, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, why don't you do that witnessing today? If there's a letter you need to write, why don't you write that letter today? If there's a sin, Christians, that you need to confess before a holy God, why don't you confess that sin today? And finally, if there is a Savior that you need to receive, why don't you receive Jesus Christ today? Why don't you receive the Lord Jesus Christ today? The book of Revelation says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." The Lord Jesus is knocking at your heart today. If you've never asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, today is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in Him. Friends, listen very closely to me. This is one of Miss Ruth Ann's favorite biblical sayings. We are not promised tomorrow. And that's a fact. But I want to make sure you understand something beyond that. You aren't promised the next 5 minutes. You aren't promised the next 30 seconds. You are promised that God is faithful and He's able to save you. Just in case you were wondering, just in case you would get some extra time that no one else may get, God is not going to make time stand still again for you or anybody else. That's what the Word of God says. And there's no time like the present. Amen? No time like the present. Don't trust in yourself. Trust in the Lord God. Trust in the Holy Spirit touching on your heart right now. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive Him as your Lord. And we come in here every week and we see this is the day the Lord has made. But friends, this day will end. Today will end. Why not let it end with your place in heaven secure for all time? And so I ask today, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Is your place in heaven secured? And Christians, why not let it end today with you recommitting your heart to the work of the Lord? Maybe, just maybe, the work that the Lord wants to do at Living Hope Baptist Church, there's never been a day like it before, and there'll never be another day like it again. Why, friends? This is the day the Lord has made. we will rejoice in it. And all God's people said,
amen.
With every head bowed and every eye closed, I end as I
thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.
You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy.